certainly thankful to see each of you this morning, and it is a great blessing and privilege to be able to visit among the Lord's people in other parts of the world, but to see so many gathered this morning on this Sunday is a great blessing. We rarely see this many gathered together where we're from. Our local bodies are much smaller, and we certainly are thankful for them. It's a joy to see so many that have turned aside from the world to want to worship and serve the Lord together. And I feel like some of your memberships may be in other places, but regardless of where your membership is, on yesterday we tried to speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Zechariah chapter 9, and how that he would come and establish his kingdom, and how that he would make the land and the people that were in bondage to be useful in the service of God and in the kingdom of God, and how that we should, based on the promises of God and the assurities of his promises, how that we should turn to the stronghold as prisoners of hope. And if you didn't hear that message, that's okay. We're not going to just preach that message or continue on with it. But this morning, the Lord being our helper, I would like to look at that stronghold that we are to turn to, which is the church of the living God. One of my favorite places to read and to study and to meditate is Psalms 48, and it is a clear picture to me of the Lord's church and also of our obligation and duty to her and our blessings in her. I do want you to visualize the local body that you're a member of and understand that it's a planting of the Lord. The church that I pastor was planted in 1873, which seems like a long time to us, but we come out east and we find churches that date way earlier than that. But even at best, I don't know what Cool Springs, if it was 1800s or 1700s, in the course of our life and in the course of history, we're still relatively young. And this place is a special place that the Lord saw fit to place a candlestick. Whatever your home churches is, if it's in a local area or if you're traveled from a distance, it's a place that the Lord saw fit to place a candlestick, that the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would shine, that the light of Jesus would shine through his people, through the gifts and the blessings that he's given to them individually and collectively in the church. I certainly believe that all of the Lord's people have been given special gifts and abilities and blessings that they can be to each other. And we see that in the world. We see that in times of distress. Y'all have been through hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and famines and things that people reached out, and sometimes the most unlikely source help comes from there, because the Lord has dealt with an individual and blessed them and put it in their hearts to reach out and to be compassionate unto his fellow man. But the primary place that we are to exercise our gifts and our abilities, the primary place that God is to be worshiped and God is to be honored and God is to be praised, is in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his church. And it's in the local body that you're a member of. We don't want to get into all the autonomy of the Old Baptist Church, but if you have placed your membership in a place, that's the primary place that you are to worship the Lord. And I know there are circumstances that our membership may reside in other places, and we may travel and sojourn in the area for a while expecting to get back home. But if you're not in the area of your home church and there's a church, you need to be active in that church, because that is an extension of the kingdom of God. It's not your home church, but it is the church of the living God. In Psalms 48, we begin by seeing this expression, "Great is the Lord." Why are we here today? Why do we come? So we come because it's a day of rest. We come to rest. The Lord created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Was he tired? Did he need a break from all the work that he had put into creation? The scriptures teach us that he spoke and it was done. Now, if I speak for very long, I will tire. I will tire in the effort of speaking. But I don't think the Lord tired in saying, "Let there be light," and there was light. I don't think the Lord got tuckered out and fizzled out and said, you know what, I need a break. Today I'm just going to take off and I'm going to rest. That's not the connotation that we get when we read the scriptures. God spake and it was done. He made this, he made that. And when it comes to some of the things that we look at and we marvel at, like the stars above, it just says, he made that also. Oh, by the way, he did that also. It's the work of his fingertips. It's the work of his hands. He didn't have to put his back and shoulders into it. This was something because our God is so great and his wisdom far exceeds anything that we can comprehend, that he did out of the purpose of his mind and so forth. And he spake and it was done. And he did it the way he chose to do it as the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. And when he had created everything that he wanted to create in the way that he wanted to create it, he took a day and he established it and he rested from his labor. It just means he ceased from creating. And by the way, there's nothing being created today. There's no new creations. Everything that was created has been created. Everything that has been created, that's all that's going to be created. Now, of all those things, most of those things will be destroyed one day. But the Lord, on the seventh day, he rested. He sanctified that day. And he made that day for man. He didn't make, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the man. And you say, well, it's our day of rest. We work 6 days. We need a day to cease from labor. But we're not here to cease from physical activity. We're not here to veg out. We're not here to be absent in mind and spirit. We have rested from our daily chores. We've rested from our carnal endeavors, those things that we make our livelihood on. But it's a day set aside that is to honor and to worship and to praise the Almighty God. Why? Because great is the Lord. He is great. And it says that greatly to be praised. What does that mean? He's greatly to be praised. Well, what does it mean for you to put in an honest day's work? To put in an honest day's work, or to put in an honest day's work week or a paycheck? Or if you're an employer, what do you want your employees to do? Do you want them to give you their best? Do you want them to come to work because they've been up all hours of the night doing no telling what, and they are sleepy and groggy, and they can't perform whatever duties that is required of them because they're not prepared for their jobs? Do you want them to be expert at what they do? Certainly so. We ought to put a great effort in everything that we do. If you're a farmer, you ought to put great effort into your farm. If you are a teacher, you ought to put great effort into the classroom. If you are a banker, you ought to put great effort into the bank that you work for, and so forth and so on. And the scriptures teach us why we should do that. Why? Because we're the children of God. We're the saints of God. We're the sanctified of God. And he teaches us that whatever we do, we ought to do it in a certain way. And you know what that way is? It's heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whenever I come and I stand before you, and many of you I don't know, and I know Brother Philip and know Brother Gary when he was here yesterday, and some of the ministers that are here, and to stand before them and preach, I often get nervous and beside myself. I'd rather give them a text, sit down and let them preach on the text, because I think they can do more with it than I can. But I'm not here to perform for Brother Philip. He's invited me to come, and when I leave, y'all may or may not talk about me. That's fine, either way it goes. But I'm not here so that Brother Philip can say, well, I did a great job in inviting somebody to come, and y'all going to like this fellow that I invited. I'm not here for that. I'm here to preach all that within me is, the way the Apostle Paul says to the Romans, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome, because the Lord's put it in me. I want to do it to the best of my ability. And if I come back in a year or 10 years or at the end of my life and I'm put up in this place and you remember, I hope I'm better than I am today. Because I hope I'm not as expert in 10 years as I am today at what I'm trying to do. The Lord is great. That means that we have a great responsibility. It's a sober thing when we come together to worship God. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to juggle and to see how many balls I can throw up in the air while I preach the gospel. Or use a language that would hold your attention to such a way that you say, whoa, the oration of that fellow, he is such a good speaker. He has such an excellent way or an eloquent way to speak the words. The Apostle Paul says, I didn't come with man's wisdom, with excellency of knowledge and excellency of speech. No doubt he had it. He was trained. He was a lawyer of the highest degree. But he says, I wanted to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was determined that my speech be seasoned with grace and not with those other things. But the Lord is greatly to be praised. All of the effort that we put into daily activity, not just our work. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks that put way more effort into play than they do into work. They work and they do their job, but when the work day's done, then the play starts and they go and they fill themselves up with entertainments of the world and they put all their energies into the weekend or into after work. They put way more effort into the after work than they do the jobs. A lot of children, there's a lot of students here, put way more energy into athletics and extracurricular activities than they do in the classroom. And I've always told them, and I'm a coach, by the way, I'm a teacher and a coach by profession. I've always told them, you got to take care of your business in the classroom before you can take care of your business on the field. It's extracurricular. You're to do this after the fact. Well, what's the most important thing that we do? To praise the Lord. He's great. Some of the things we do are good. Some of the things we do, they're not good or bad. They just are. But the Lord is great. And he's greatly to be praised. I ought to praise him with all the effort and ability that I have to praise him. Now, if I have a gift, then I should use that gift in his service. You say, well, my gift's not the preaching of the gospel. Well, that's not the way you're to use that gift. But how is it that we are to conduct ourselves in the house of God when we've come to worship him? With effort, with great effort. He's greatly to be praised. So I'm going to receive the word of God with readiness of mind. My mind is to be here. My mind is to be centered upon the thoughts that the man is to bring to me. And why is that? Did I get a book before I came in the mail that says, when you preach special meetings, you preach these sermons. On regular sermons, you preach here and follow this list and pattern. And on Christmas, preach this. And on Easter, preach that. I didn't get a book. When I was charged, nobody gave me a book. I've never had a book that told me what to preach. And I trust that from time to time, I preach the same things over and over again. I'm going to be honest with you. The last time I was here is in 2011. Brother Ronnie said he could look it up on the Arbiter or whatever the thing is and see what it was. It's probably on there. It could have been Psalms 48. I have no idea what I preached in 2011. I'm not that good. I'm going to tell you what. Some of you won't know what I preached 10 minutes after we've had lunch. And when I get home and my wife asks, well, was the service is good? What did you preach about? It could be that I can't remember my own self. Because I'm going to tell you, after that I preached, I began thinking, what am I going to preach the next time? My mind goes forward instead of backwards. Though I have a lot of repairing to do. But I trust that if I preach on something that I preached before, it's not because I've hit that home run and I can just can that sermon and every time I need a home run, I can open up that can and serve it. It doesn't work that way. You have to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. And when you have a text, you may never preach the same thing twice the same way. Because you're led in different ways. You may preach the same thing. There are sermons that I've preached that I've been down the road and I've hoed in that row a lot. It's good stuff. It's good places to labor. Lord's people need to hear it over and over and over. Continually be reminded. We need to continually be reminded that God is great. We shouldn't have to be reminded, but we do. You ever have to remind your children things? We talked about this with his children. Mine aren't here to compare, so I'm thankful for that. But it's like, I got to tell them to say yes, sir, all the time. I've already taught them that. I got 19-year-old and 18-year-old, and sometimes I have to remind them, you still have to say yes, sir, or no, sir. We shouldn't have to be reminded God is great. Should we have to be reminded that God has been great to me? Shouldn't have to be reminded of that. But when we come to the house of God and I hear it again, it does something to me. It stirs within my soul. It puts my mind in frame that I want to do better than I have done. I want to preach with all the power and ability that I have to give Him honor and glory and praise. He is greatly to be praised. Our songs, not just that we sing, but the songs that we select ought to be those things that are speaking from our hearts, that I want to encourage myself in the Lord. David often had to refresh himself and encourage himself to go out and to fight the battles that he had to fight. He encouraged himself in the Lord. We ought to select songs that encourage ourselves. We're to speak to ourselves, but we're also to speak to one another. How do I know what song you need to hear? I have no idea other than to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. The service of God in the city of God. This is His kingdom. He has made the laws of this kingdom. He has established the procedures of this kingdom. He has established the layout of this kingdom, where the roads are, where the bulwarks and the towers are set. It's His kingdom. And it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. It tells us something about our city, that He's the one that it's His city and He's established it. This is the primary place that we are to greatly praise Him. It is. Folks say, well, I can do it on the golf course. I can do it out there fishing. I can do it out there hunting. I can do it out there doing other activities with saints of God and with family and so forth. You can't please God as great anywhere else as you can please Him in the city of His establishment. In the city of our God. You can't please Him in the valley like you can please Him in the mountain of His holiness. This is the place that God has established to be praised in. It's not that we can't praise Him anywhere else. And certainly we can, and certainly we should. And this should not be your only day of worship. Your day of worship is not, an hour of worship should not be from 11 to 12:30 on Sunday morning and 7:30 to 9 on Sunday afternoon. First, third, and fifth Sunday mornings and every Sunday night. That's not your time of worship. That is the time that Cool Spring has set aside to worship the Lord publicly, but still we ought to be worshiping Him in our lifestyles, in our thoughts and our meditations. The Lord told Israel, when you lay down, when you rise up, when you sit down to eat, when you rise from eating, you're to be talking about me. You're to be talking about my precepts and my judgments. When you're by the wayside, when you're going out, when you're coming in, they should be written on the post of your door. They should be as frontless before between your eyes. All of these things. Your life is not your own. Your body is not your own. You are to worship Him in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And you have that all the time. But there are special times. There are special meetings. There are regular meetings that the church has set aside. This is a time we're going to meet together and worship Him. This is the place that God says, I desire to be praised. If God is great and He says, I desire something, should we not give Him what it is He desires? Should we not worship Him the way He desires to be worshiped? He is great. I can tell you right now, you cannot come up with a better way. We can't add to the church and we can't take away from the church things that are uncomfortable to us. Heard folks that do not like the way that we go about communion and washing each other's feet and say, that's just too much, I can't do that. Why can't you? God is great. God has been great to you. And if He says you ought to do it, just do it. And the blessings that follow, the effects of doing what God has said to do will follow just like you said. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you rebel, you're going to be devoured. You're not going to prosper the way that you want to prosper in this life if you don't do things the way God has instructed us to do it. It's a mountain. Do you know that you had to come up to church today? I didn't see any mountains here in middle Georgia. I guess there are some somewhere. We said, I'm going to town. I'm going up to Jackson. Jackson's north of where I live. We have a town of Summit, supposed to be the highest point between New Orleans and Memphis on the railroad or whatever. It's supposed to be the highest point. So I always say, I'm going down to Jackson. And folks say, well, you're strange. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care whether you're going up or down in elevation. When you come to the house of God, you're coming up. You're coming up. You're coming into a noble presence. Do you know that you are sitting among kings this morning? Look to your left and to your right and behind you. You're sitting among royalty. You're sitting among the children of the King. Brothers and sisters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no better place to be. Commercials have said it doesn't get any better than this. I've heard out of the lips, unfortunately, of some of our church members at athletic events that we had all day softball. I don't know if you've ever done that. Don't recommend it, but if you ever have, oh, this is the best. We get to see our children play softball all day long. I got a better place to be than that. I can be among royalty or I can be among the world watching a game. And whether we win or whether we lose, we won't be satisfied. We win the game 100-0. But my daughter was 3-for-4. She should have got that extra hit. She shouldn't have had that error at second base. We won the game 100-0. We're not going to be satisfied if we win or if we lose. You Georgia fans will not be satisfied if you win a national championship. You'll want another national championship. You just won't be. It's the way the world is. If you seek after gold, you will not be satisfied when you have gold. You want the next thing. You want the next million. But in the house of God, we can have contentment. This is the place. It's a mountain. It's up high. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been to the mountains, it's hard to get to the tops. You have to work really, really hard to get there. You may live across the street. He showed me Brother Franklin's home just across the street. He can walk to church. It's not hard for him to get here. Maybe harder the older he gets to get up and get dressed and to get over here. But it's not hard to get here. It's hard to get here. There's so many things set against us. This place, he calls it in verse 2, beautiful for situation. Now, I've always thought of that in whatever your situation is. You're young, you're old, you're poor, you're rich. The scriptures say that it's real hard for the rich man to enter in the kingdom of God, but I've known some. In the Corinthian letter, it says, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise are called,